Intelligent design and DNA. The scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart. Welcome to Real Science Radio.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, it's been a long time.
It's been a while. I've been out of the studio for a couple of weeks, and man, I'm excited to be back.
You've been out of the country.
I have been. You were probably telling people I was on assignment.
Yep.
Well, I was actually in Italy having a great time. Yeah. And Bob, we went to see the catacombs. Did you get to see those when you were there?
Oh, yeah, in Rome.
Yeah, and there was a dinosaur on one of the walls in the catacombs. So I asked the tour guide, what's that dinosaur doing there with people? And so we got in a good conversation about dinosaurs living with people.
Did you get a photograph of that?
I didn't, because they don't let you take pictures down there.
Oh, wow.
The ones that we were at.
Yeah. Hey, that's exciting
news.
We're going to do a show on that topic.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Right. So Bob, I'm really excited. So you got to go somewhere, and I'm telling you, I'm a little bit jealous now, but the good news is I heard one of your shows. In fact, I downloaded it on my way to Italy because it was about the Pope saying,
"Oh yeah,
who am I to judge?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's going to be a good show to listen to.
Yeah, in Italy. So the Pope says, who am I to judge? And we're like, well, for starters, you're the Pope. It'd be like John the Baptist saying, who am I to baptize? Well, for starters, your last name is Baptist.
Yeah.
I mean, for starters.
Yeah. So the first place we stayed at was real close to the Vatican. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to listen to that show. And, you know, one of the things I took away from it was that, you know, jealousy isn't necessarily a sin, which is a good thing.
Because God is jealous.
That's
right. He's a jealous God.
But, you know, I was really jealous that you got to go to the ICC conference. Now, this is the granddaddy of them all, the International Conference on Creationism. It's the seventh one that they've had.
Yes.
They have them about every 4 or 5 years, and all the big names go there. It's the most prestigious of all the conferences, and you were there. So, Bob, I'd love to talk about that today.
Well, Fred, that sounds wonderful. Now, let me tell you a little inside baseball. You know, on our show, we don't really talk about theology much. We did a program recently on God. Is God in or outside of time? But on Thursdays, we do Theology Thursday, and we sell a book. My life's work is called The Plot, An Overview of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the founder of the ICC, his name is Bob Walsh. He came up to me at the conference and he said, Bob, I know you guys out there in Denver, Real Science Radio, and I want to let you know that the theology in The Plot is my theology also.
Oh, really?
So wasn't that cool?
Well, that is cool.
Yeah. So we don't have to say more about it than that. But if people want an overview of the Bible, we have it on DVD, we have it on audio, CDs, MP3s, downloadable, and in a written book, The Plot.
Yeah, and I've read it, and I highly recommend it. Everybody should get The Plot. It's fantastic.
Well,
it really helps you understand the Bible in its entirety, and so many things start to make sense that was confusing before I read it.
Yeah.
And it's great. I highly recommend
it. It's such a blessing. Well, and what an honor to find out that the founder of the ICC, this is now the seventh, and they have them every 4 or 5 years. And Fred, there are hundreds of people there. And I'd say half the people are engineers or scientists, including from really prestigious institutions.
Well, so I'm curious, who was there? I know that usually you get the really big names of creation scientists.
Yeah. Well, what's fun is you're walking down the hallway and you say, what time are they going to start serving lunch? And some famous guy says, 12:15. I look over like John Sanford from Cornell University.
Yeah. Wow.
And
just man,
all the big names that I've been reading about since the 70s. I mean, all the ones that haven't died yet.
Yeah.
They're all there. In fact, at the conference, I said to a few of the attendees, I said, you know, a creation scientist died and his name was Jerry Bergman and he went to heaven and the Lord said, Jerry, I'm almost done reading your stuff. Jerry has published
a very prolific writer.
1,000 papers
and hopefully
and books.
People knew you were joking because Jerry's still with us, still writing great stuff.
In fact, Lord willing, we'll be interviewing him on Real Science Radio on his book, Hitler and the Nazi Darwinian Worldview.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he's written a book on that.
An amazing book. One of our producers has read it to help with show prep. He was there. He is wonderful, as always. But Fred, so many famous people and All the big organizations were represented. Mm-hmm. AIG, CRS, CMI, you know, nobody necessarily
ICR,
knows.
ICR,
yeah. All the big groups in all the camps of sciences. I felt like I was an ambassador for personhood.
For personhood, okay.
Yeah, because all the creation groups are strongly pro-life.
Yes.
For decades. They have not necessarily noticed that the old guard pro-life industry really never speaks against Darwinian evolution, never against the Big Bang. Just that the fact that so many believe that we've evolved from animals fuels abortion.
Absolutely.
Fuels it.
Absolutely.
Because if we're just animals and you have an animal in your womb, what's the difference if you kill it? We eat hot dogs. So what's the difference?
So you're opening their eyes to how the national right to life, the really big groups.
Right, the big groups.
They're missing out on, and I can't say for sure, but it seems like they've fallen into the paradigm of this evolution thing. Mm. They don't deal with it. I know that's a fact for sure. Yeah. They don't deal with it.
And to be able to point out that the personhood movement is the renewed pro-life movement, the abolitionist personhood movement, where it's a return to the biblical foundation of uncompromising. God made us in his image, his likeness. Christianity Today was wrong in their cover story. You and I did a show on it when they said there was no Adam and Eve. Mankind evolved from ape-like creatures. That's heresy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so it was so neat to be able to point these Christian organizations to personhood.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I felt like an ambassador for personhood.
So what about Real Science Radio? I'm sure you had an impact there, right?
Well,
and the impact that Real Science Radio was having?
What a great question. I had no idea, really, going in, if people would be aware of Real Science Radio. I'm on cloud nine. I am just elated, Fred, with the impact that this years of dedication with our producers, Jamie Schofield, Wally Nix, and so many of the guys over the years, Doug McBurney, so many of the guys, and then you and I doing these shows week in and week out for years, I would say at the beginning of the conference, 30% to 50% of the attendees knew about Real Science Radio.
Oh, really? Wow.
Just from people
That's
I
awesome.
Talked to. By the end of the conference, it was about 100%.
About 100%. So.
And one reason was each day there were four sessions, three parallel sessions at a time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So 12 sessions during the day in one plenary session at night where everybody's together to hear a big name speaker.
Yep.
So first speaker, Sunday night, Ken Ham. And it really was tremendous. Second night, Steve Taylor from Leeds University in England. And Steve Taylor is an expert in AMS, atomic mass spectrometry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's trying to keep not only England, but the nations in Europe safe from terrorists bringing in chemical and biological weapons and nuclear weapons. So he is creating the equipment to enable border guards and all to detect.
So he's a scientist.
He's a big-time scientist.
Big-time scientist. Well, wait a minute. He's a creationist? Wow. Shocker there, huh?
He's a creationist. Fred, there were scientists and engineers from Los Alamos National Labs, Sandia National Labs, Cornell University, from NASA. I mean, just all over the spectrum of accomplishment. It was stunning. Fellows of all the big, prestigious engineering associations, the AAAS, American Association for the Advancement of Science fellow, Dr. Mark Horstmeier, for example. It just went on and on.
And so that was night two.
Yeah, well, this Dr. guy, Taylor. Steve Taylor, he gives his talk. He flies over from England. The big things and the theme of the whole conference was dinosaur soft tissue.
Okay.
And after I tell you what he said about dinosaur soft tissue, I want to tell you about a filmmaker who called yesterday here at the studio.
Oh, really?
Asking about Real Science Radio. So Steve Taylor says, well...
Oh, wait, we got to go to commercial. We'll be right back, audience. Just kidding. This is really good stuff,
yeah,
Bob.
Fun,
I couldn't
resist. This is fun. So, in fact, this program was brought to you by God, maker of heaven and earth and other fine products. So, Fred, Steve Taylor says, look, dinosaur soft tissue, it's a wedge issue. It's big because you show people the average guy and gal in the street that we have blood vessels from a T-Rex and it opens their eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
So he said he had no idea that Real Science Radio would be there. I had no idea he would be there. And he played a clip from this show that you and I have played recently where I asked world famous paleontologist Jack Horner.
Oh, he played that.
He played that clip and the audience just loved it.
Oh, man.
Just loved it. He played probably 5 minutes of that clip. It's about a 7 minute clip. Then there's a follow up call. And he said, I want to play the follow up too, but I just don't have
this
the time.
During his talk. And
during his talk.
And you didn't know this was coming.
I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't know I would be there.
Yeah.
So, in fact, Monday morning, I'm going into the first session and this Brit comes up to me and he says, Bob Inyer, you got to come to my room. Come to my room. I got to show you some dinosaur bones. Like, okay, who are you?
The same guy.
So it's Steve Taylor.
Okay.
And he had dinosaur bones and he was having lunch with a Pittsburgh local university lab AMS guy. And he was meeting with that guy to ask him if he would provide yet another dating of a dinosaur bone looking for carbon 14.
Okay.
And that lunch went extremely well. And that project is proceeding.
So this was another creationist at this lunch?
No.
Interesting.
This was a local technician, engineer, scientist working at a local Pittsburgh AMS lab,
gotcha.
A very prestigious lab.
Okay.
So here he is meeting with Steve Taylor, who's extremely accomplished in the field.
Mm-hmm.
He was honored to meet Steve Taylor, and he was happy to help to date this dinosaur
bone. Wow.
So Steve plays the video and he played the YouTube version of it. It's hard to listen to it without getting a smile ear to ear because Jack Horner is just so beside himself. We offer him $23,000, a grant for his dinky museum, and he turns us down. All we are saying is, would you do the scientific test? No.
No.
No. We don't want the results to be. No. So anyway, that was on the second night. And then the sessions were so great because they weren't rushed. We were there from 7:30 in the morning to about 9:30 or later at night, every night, including like to 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock talking at the hotel.
Yeah. It's always so hard to pick which session you go
to. Oh, it was absolutely murdered.
But that's
pick
really
them.
Cool. What? That's awesome. He played that clip. Did he mention Real Science Radio?
He sure did.
He did?
Yeah. In fact, it was on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was on the screen. And Bob Enyard, he said, Bob Enyard's here tonight. And blah, blah,
So to answer my question, is Real Science Radio making an impact? Wow.
Such an impact. Fred, a number of the speakers, as they were talking, whether in their talk or in the Q&A, would mention Real Science Radio and our support of, for example, the dinosaur soft tissue education of the general public.
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe the biggest theme of the conference. And you know Mark Armitage?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? He's the electron microscopist extraordinaire with photos better than Mary Schweitzer's.
He does, actually, for Creation Research Society at the Van Andel Lab.
Yeah. And of dinosaur soft tissue. So last summer, we scooped the secular science journals by 6 months. Because Mark was in studio, he had dinosaur soft tissue with him. He showed us the photos. However, they were embargoed because he was going to use them for the journal to be published.
Yeah, so he was publishing something in a secular journal, right?
Mark Armitage and Kevin Anderson, who's a microbiologist, and they published in Acta Histochemica, which is a very prestigious journal.
Yeah, yes.
And Mark gave the very last presentation of the week. He was in the last slot. So three slots a day. Thursday, it's after lunch. Everybody's exhausted. You'd think half the people are going to be going home. No way.
So this isn't the nighttime speaker?
This is the last one in the day.
Gotcha. Okay.
You think everybody would be going home? No way. His was the most packed of all the talks.
Wow.
The second most packed was ICR's Brian Thomas, who gave a rundown of all the scientific discoveries.
Okay.
And Brian Thomas has given us permission to use at our dinosaur soft tissue, given us permission to use his report of 40 peer-reviewed papers documenting soft tissue in fossils. And so we have that right now at dinosaursofttissue.com. You go down to the bottom of the chronology of all the papers published, and there it is. You could get a Google Excel spreadsheet of all these papers.
And this was just added, or has this been there?
This has been on that page, but I'm just pointing out that Brian was the original creator of that.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and he's given us permission. And in fact, we have ongoing work with Brian where he has agreed to help us by reviewing our Real Science Radio material even before we go on air with it regarding dinosaur soft tissue.
Okay.
And he's an expert. So his talk, I would say, was the second most well attended of the daytime talks. So the dinosaur soft tissue talks, those were big.
Okay. So I'm curious, is there any cutting edge stuff? Because, you know, one of the conferences I was at, Dr. Russ Humphreys had a group of us around him, and he was just saying, look, this stuff on the zircon and the, you know, the helium.
Yeah, the zircon crystals.
Yeah, the helium escaping from zircon. And they were having the independent lab. The data was coming in, and he's saying, this is so huge. This is going to be great. You guys are going to love it. I can't give you details right now. And it was like a year after that that all that broke.
The RAID conference.
Yeah, the
RAID
conference.
It broke and it was big.
It was huge. It was huge. It was awesome stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. There's always something at these conferences.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. I'm wondering, what are some other highlights or groundbreaking things that you learned about?
Well, John Sanford, who wrote the book that you love.
One of my favorite creation scientists.
I'm eager to read the book, Genetic Entropy. He's a Cornell geneticist. He is world-renowned.
Yes. He was an evolutionist for many years.
Yeah, and now he's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only a creationist, he's a young earth creationist.
Yes.
And he has tremendous evidence from his specialty that these species cannot survive for a million years because they'd come to a genetic collapse.
Absolutely.
They would go extinct, a meltdown. He and his young assistant presented, you know, they have Mendel's accountant online. So you could, it's a computer simulator. Anyone could use it.
Walter Remine helped
write that. For free. Walter Remine, they credit it Remine. I got to participate in the Q&As in these sessions and talked about Walter Remine. And so we've got some interesting follow-up investigation to do. But not only do they have Mendel's accountant that shows the difficulty of getting mutations to come to fixity in a species so that something could evolve.
Yeah.
Now they have Mendel's ratchet.
Mendel's ratchet.
Mendel's
okay.
ratchet is this powerful presentation. It uses the software simulator of Mendel's accountant, and they are showing tremendous hard scientific evidence for the collapse of the Darwinian neo-Darwinism, that model. It is collapsing. There are secular scientists by the thousands who are looking for ways to jump ship. They're looking for alternatives to Darwinism.
So this ratchet is a version of that program. What does it show? Does it show the collapse of the genome as opposed to the difficulty of a beneficial mutation to become fixed?
Yeah, I'd say that's a
kind
a
of the good reverse
way of it summarizing
shows you, okay,
it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and also reinforcing the fact that evolution is not going to work. If you put reasonable parameters in, like how often would a mutation occur? Mm-hmm. How often would it be neutral versus harmful versus beneficial? You put reasonable parameters that scientists are actually measuring and you go to extinction. You go to a million years and everything goes extinct.
Yep.
So it's a hard time to be a Darwinist.
It's a very hard time. You have to have incredible blind faith.
Yeah. There are thousands of scientists identified by name, institution, and specialty who are rejecting Darwin, and there are tens of thousands of professors and scientists surveyed by Harvard based on polls and extrapolations, they're saying, who are doubting Darwinism, and there are hundreds of thousands of professionals in the applied sciences who are saying, hey, God had to be involved in the origin of human
medical
life.
Medical doctors, huge number,
huge,
reject Darwinism. In fact, just recently on my forum, there is a evolutionists who use that canard about 99.9% of scientists are Darwinists.
Yeah.
And so I knew we had just talked about it, and I pointed to the resource that you've added to the website, which is really good on that stuff.
And at Real Science
Radio. RealScienceRadio.com or KGov.com.
Right. Yep.
Powerful stuff.
Isn't it great? They quote that Newsweek article from 1987, and it had two authors in Newsweek, two staff reporters.
In 87, isn't that around the time they were talking about global cooling in,
global
in Time magazine? Yeah,
right, right. So, Fred, I have interacted with both of those authors, and we have the correct information online. The atheists, evolutionists were completely wrong in claiming that 99.87% of all scientists are Darwinists.
And this guy should have known
completely
better.
Completely false.
Yeah, because he's a moderator on another huge evolution creation board. He knows that that's not true.
He should have known, right?
Yeah.
They should have known. So the Mendel's ratchet.
Okay.
In other words, continued work from John Sanford.
Okay.
Big. Also big in a negative way. Was the battle of the models.
I was going to ask this question. I was contemplating whether I should. But when I've been to creation conferences, we're Christians and we're perfect, right? We all get along.
We're perfect human beings.
So, of course, I'm being sarcastic.
There's no competition.
There's no politics.
No pride.
No pride at all.
Right. It's like everything else. It's like the pro-life movement where there's competing
ideas. Yeah, there's varying opinions and there is pride. There's competition.
Yeah, and creation science, like regular science, proceeds one funeral at a time. It does.
It does.
Dr. Henry Morris, beloved Dr. Henry Morris, was a strong promoter of the canopy theory, the vapor canopy theory, which he got from a secularist. And he's passed away. He's with the Lord. He's done so much.
Oh, tremendous.
To bring thousands to salvation.
Really, I think the
founding Jesus
father,
Christ,
the modern
Christian
movement.
But now the vapor canopy theory, I think, has also died. You know, there are a few hangers on.
Yeah, but it's crashed down pretty much.
So now you have the politics of the competing models.
Yes, there's a lot of models.
There are different models depending on what you're talking about. The big things are the flood model and the creation model. You know, what is the firmament, the ice age model? But the flood model is the big thing.
Yes.
You know, where'd the water come from? Where'd it go? Catastrophic plate tectonics. All this bombardment from comets and all.
So this is going to be real interesting for you, right? I mean, at Real Science Radio,
we're
big supporters of Walt Brown's hydroplate theory.
Yeah.
So somehow I think this is going to come into the conversation here.
Yeah, it does in a big way. Here's my assessment, and my assessment is biased in that, you know, I'm looking through hydroplate glasses so that the fountains of the great deep are the cause of the global flood. When the water 10 miles down or below subterranean chamber, the crust of the earth cracked and that water came up with tremendous force and flooded the earth and all that.
And source of the comets.
Source of the comets pockmarked the moon.
Moon, yes.
Only one side of the
moon. One side, yep.
Which is now the near side. So I'm watching with great interest and taking notes on everything. The models that are being developed, computer models, to simulate these different questions of physics. And I was in the simulation department at McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache helicopter. So even though I'm a talk show host and a pro-life personhood activist,
yeah, you have some
I have a
exposure
background
to this, definitely. Yeah.
So John Baumgartner from Sandia National Labs, emeritus.
Yeah, he was featured in Time magazine on
his Terra software.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just brilliant scientist,
he's
engineer.
He's a brilliant scientist.
Yeah, and I love him, and he was as gracious to me and to us here at Real Science Radio as you could possibly
be. Yeah,
he's
a real nice guy.
Yeah. He came up to me and said, Bob, I want you to know a while back, you guys sent me a question. I have an answer and I sent you the answer. So that was fun when I got back to look that up. But Fred, his model is they have plate tectonics. That's the secular version. He introduced, it's a competitor to Walt Brown's hydroplate theory. He introduced catastrophic plate tectonics. Well, they've been building software to simulate, based on the laws of physics, to simulate what would happen on the crust of the earth if certain things happen. Fred, John Baumgartner would not be this direct about the results of his own software, but his own work is demolishing his model.
Wow.
And he would not present it that way, obviously. But I'll give you an example. If the Bible is true, which we take the Bible as God's word, and then it's filled with internal and external evidence of the truth of it being God's word. And so then we look in the real world and we say, well, what is the evidence and what does it show? Well, Genesis says that the global flood happened in about 150 days. And so we see on the continents a mile deep of sedimentary layer all over the world. So that means that those sediments had to be deposited primarily, the vast majority, during those 150 days. So you have to erode all that sediment. The water has to have currents fast enough to carry all that sediment, and then it has to be deposited. That takes a tremendous amount of energy.
Energy and heat.
Yes, tremendous amount. And so John Baumgartner has been building simulation software to model these global currents, and his problem is he can't get it to work with terrestrial forces. It doesn't matter if you invoke earthquakes, volcanism, plate tectonics. He just can't get it to work. You can't get the water circulating enough to carry all the sediment.
What's his approach to the problem?
Well, he's become, I would describe it as, in a loving way and respecting him, he's become desperate.
Really?
Desperate. Okay. I'll tell you how he solves the problem. You can't even argue that a comet hit and that did it. He's stuck. So he said, the only way I could get the energy needed to circulate the water to carry and deposit all those sediments is to have a planet the size of the moon pass by the Earth, a near miss. And then that has to happen, six different planets pass by, at least separated by 24 hours or more each, six times.
Wow.
That's unreasonable.
That's desperate. That's a good word that you
it's
use.
It's desperate.
It is. Wow.
And so in the Q&A, I asked, Dr. Baumgartner, you're putting the ICC on the horns of a dilemma. It's good that we know the magnitude of the problem, but either we got to go back to Velikovsky, who had his near planetary miss, mm-hmm. who's been totally discredited, or you're pushing us into the arms of Walt Brown and the hydroplate theory.
You said that?
Yeah. Because Walt...
Was there a big murmuring in the crowd?
I'd say a little murmuring. Because Walt says that the subterranean chambers, the fountains of the Great Deep, 10 miles or more below the crust, collapsed as the water escaped. And so you have all the continents on the Earth collapsing a mile.
Great way to describe it.
The tremendous energy released by
that
gravity.
Alone.
So I said, Dr. Baumgartner, did you model as a mechanism gravity and the collapse of the subterranean chamber to provide the energy to circulate the water to carry the sediments?
What did he say?
He didn't do it, but he could.
You think he will do it?
No.
You don't?
I don't think he will, but maybe he will.
Yeah.
So, Fred, there's a lot more about the conference. Maybe we should do a second show on it. I know we have important shows coming up on Jericho.
Great. Yeah, very interesting.
Bryant Wood, world's leading expert on the archaeological.
So we're going to have him coming up. That's going to be a really good show.
Dig at Jericho, yes. And our show on dinosaurs and man, did they coexist?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk less about the soft tissue and more about other evidences, right?
Yes, and Jerry Bergman on Hitler and the Nazi Darwinian worldview. But I think we should do another show on this conference.
And just continue to make me more and more jealous.
So
but you said it wasn't a sin.
Well, God is a jealous God.
Envy is a sin. Fred is a jealous guy. But I'm not envious. I'm just jealous.
Envy and covetousness.
Well, maybe
I
am envious.
I think I'm jealous of your retirement package. I'm jealous of something. Okay. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
And thank you guys for tuning in. This is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams, Real Science Radio. Our website, realscienceradio.com. Please shop at our store. It helps us stay on the air. And if you could make a donation, a one-time or a monthly donation, you could do it right there online or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. May God bless you.
To be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.